It's Big 12 Tournament Week in Kansas City. Here we go. I'm Pete Mundo. He's Matthew Postens. We're Heartland College Sports covering the Big 12 as we do each and every show, each and every day. And as you can see, Matthew is there for the Big 12 Women's Tournament. He'll be here all week for the Men's Tournament as well. And we appreciate you being here on the show. Make sure you're subscribed on the podcast on YouTube. You'll get great content all week long. So, Matthew, it looks great down there at T-Mobile Center, and we're getting ready for the men. I think we should start with Kansas State. They're the bubble team that now we're watching after they upset Iowa State on Saturday. Yeah. My thought is they've got to beat Texas and then beat Iowa State to be in the conversation. Joe Lenardi has them as their ninth team out. What do you think of the Wildcats and the likelihood they can make that happen?
Well, you know, neutral floor, anything can happen. You know, it's the funny thing about this tournament. I saw something this morning, and I'm going to try and find it real quick. Okay, here it is. Teams with three quadrant one wins and no quadrant three or quadrant four losses to miss the NCAA tournament in the net era, that's zero. Kansas State actually fits that criteria, as does Butler. So if you're thinking of it from that standpoint, historically, they're already in. The thing is, I think they've got to win at least their first game here, which is coming up on Wednesday against Texas. You beat Texas, you give Iowa State a really good game. Maybe you upset Iowa State. Maybe that's enough to push you in. But, you know, you look at where they are in Lenardi's bubble right now. They're not even quite on the bubble. They're kind of under it, if memory serves. So I kind of tend to agree with you. I think they've got to win both games, although historically speaking, that one particular stat indicates they might already be in.
They might. I mean, you know, Lenardi's not perfect. He's good, but he's not perfect. So we'll have to see, because that's a great tidbit. And there was a blind resume done I saw on Sunday that showed Mississippi State against Kansas State. And I think it's pretty evident Kansas State has the better resume, but everyone's talking about Mississippi State as a lock as an 8 or 9 seed. So it's not that I think K-State's, you know, going to make a deep run like last year. They're not that team. But if they beat Texas, they should be at least part of the conversation. If they beat Iowa State, they should absolutely be in the NCAA tournament. But we'll see what happens this week. Now, if you're looking at this bracket, Matthew, and we've got the bottom four teams, Oklahoma State, UCF, West Virginia, Cincinnati. Who do you like, if any of them, to maybe make a run? I'll give you mine first, and it's Cincinnati, because they've got West Virginia, who's down in the dumps, moving on. And then they get a banged-up Kansas team in game two. And then if they get there, a Baylor team that hasn't won a game in the Big 12 tournament since 2021. So it hasn't happened a lot in recent Big 12 memory, but if I'm taking one of those four, I'm taking Cincinnati.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of the team that I pegged to, because I think they've got a winnable game in the first round. You saw what they did against Kansas at Allen, you know, a while back. They were in that game till the very end, and they only lost by a couple of possessions. So on a neutral court, and I realize Kansas City is not exactly a neutral court for Kansas, but if Hunter Dickinson doesn't play in this game, that puts Kansas in a really desperate spot. And because Cincinnati has the front court players to match up well with Kansas, whether or not Dickerson plays, I give them a puncher's chance of winning that game, even though it's a neutral site home game for Kansas. And yeah, you know, they're the team that I feel like kind of has a pathway of those four teams in those two first round games. They have the pathway to kind of push themselves into the quarterfinals, maybe even the semifinals if things work right. And if they can do that, and we're having a conversation about them potentially making the tournament.
Yeah, I, you know, they're not out of the mix. There's no doubt about it. Now, I look at UCF. I think they'll beat Oklahoma State. They've been a very underrated team all year. BYU is a team that I could see making a run to Saturday or just losing to UCF on Wednesday. Like, I could see that going either way. I want to really like BYU and pick them as a surprise team. But if they're not hitting their threes, if they're in an uncomfortable environment in Kansas City, maybe that throws them off their game. I don't know. But I look at UCF and I say, okay, you know, can you take care of Oklahoma State? Can you upset BYU? Can you beat a Texas Tech team that you split with this season? I'm not betting the mortgage on that by any stretch, Matthew. But what makes this tournament so fun is the depth that we've watched all year in the Big 12. So I'm sitting here trying to find different scenarios and fun scenarios and saying, why the heck not?
Yeah, I mean, UCF played well the past few weeks. They played BYU very well at home in January. That was a close game. I think BYU pulled it out, but you know, UCF was in that game the entire way. UCF's beaten Kansas. They've beaten some of the other better teams in this conference. They've done well on neutral floors this year. You know, I think they beat Oklahoma State in the first round, but I think BYU probably comes with their top shooters in the second game. BYU is a really deep team from a scoring standpoint. So if one player isn't shooting the three well, they've got a couple other guys that can do it. You know, I think UCF wins that first game, but I think their run ends after that.
Mm-hmm. If you look at that second round, and you know, you got Oklahoma and TCU as kind of the locks, and K-State and Texas. We talked about the K-State, you know, future on that bubble. Who do you like in teams that are going to play on that second day, possibly making a run? Because right now I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I like BYU, but I also could make the argument for UCF. Oklahoma and TCU are two teams trending in a bad direction right now. Kansas State has a lot to play for. We know that. Kansas is just down in the dumps without McCullough and Dickinson potentially. So is there anyone who stands out to you on that potential second round slate?
You know what? I'm going to take TCU, and here's why. So TCU's and Oklahoma's path runs into Houston. That's not a great matchup for either one of those teams. But TCU beat Houston in Fort Worth in early January. I covered that game. TCU actually matches up very well with Houston personnel-wise. They both know how to run the floor. TCU likes to fast break. They can defend well. They can find ways to slow Houston down from an offensive standpoint. So when I think about that matchup in January, and granted, a lot has changed since then.
Yeah.
TCU, of those two teams, they're the better matchup with Houston, and they're the team that, you know, feel like could give Houston some real trouble. I still like Houston to win the game, but I like that matchup for TCU. They can get past Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point about that TCU-Houston matchup. Now, as I'm looking at Kansas, we got to spend some time with the Jayhawks. We don't know yet, as of our conversation right now, whether or not Dickinson or McCullough is going to play. My opinion, Matthew, is that if I'm Bill Self, I'm not playing either of these guys. I don't see the benefit. Make sure they're ready for the tournament next week. Even if you lose your first game, maybe you fall to a 5 seed. But if you win it, you stay at a 4. I'd rather have those guys healthy, even if it means falling to a 5 seed, than trying to win a game with these guys banged up just to maintain a 4 seed. How do you think Bill Self will and should play this thing this week in Kansas City, which has really become the KU Invitational?
Yeah, I think he will play it the way his trainers tell him to play it with those two players. If Dickinson can't play, he won't play.
Yeah.
I think with McCullough, it's a little bit different because I think it comes down to the fact that he's played the last couple of games. He seems healthy. If he can't do anything more to his injury, then he's going to play in this tournament. But with Dickinson, if he's a flat-out no-go, if they don't clear him, he won't play. If Dickinson doesn't play, I don't like their chances of getting out of Wednesday, to be honest. I don't know what they're going to do with floor spacing. They're going to have to go back to having Adams at the 5. I mean, they've got some shooters, obviously, that can stretch the floor, but they won't have anybody that can bang around inside with Cincinnati's big guys should Cincinnati win that game. That's why for Kansas, if West Virginia wins that game, that's really not a great matchup for them either because they got Jesse Edwards inside. So if Dickinson doesn't play, that really puts Kansas in a pickle, and I think they have a hard time winning that second-round game on Wednesday, regardless of who the opponent is.
Now, if we look to the quarterfinals, these four teams who got the double byes. By the way, I'm Pete Mundo. He's Matthew Poston. He's already at the T-Mobile Center for the Women's Big 12 Tournament. We're getting you set for the Men's Big 12 Tournament starting on Tuesday, taking you up until the championship game on Saturday. We've got Houston with the 1 seed. Iowa State with the 2 seed, Baylor with the 3 seed, and Texas Tech with the 4 seed. Let's start off here. Which one of these teams is most likely to find themselves getting upset in their first game in the quarterfinals? Is it Tech? Is it Houston? Is it Iowa State? Is it Baylor? I'll give you first dibs on this.
You know, I think it's probably, I'd have to lean toward Baylor, and it's part of what you said earlier. They haven't won a tournament game here since 21. They've had trouble here, you know, for whatever reason here in Kansas City. And they're a really good team, know how to space the floor well. Jalen Bridges had a career night the other night against Texas. They've got high quality players across the court, but for whatever reason, the last 2 years, they just have not been able to get it done here. Kansas advances, that's not a great matchup for them, I don't think, because it means Dickerson's probably playing. If it ends up being Cincinnati, that definitely isn't a great matchup for them, because Cincinnati's got a lot of size inside that can match up with East Missy, and they know how to spread the floor. So I think of the four teams that I see there with those double buys, they're the ones that potentially could have the worst matchup of the four and therefore be eliminated in the quarterfinals.
You know, I that's a good one with Baylor. I would lean Texas Tech just because of what I alluded to earlier. If they get UCF, they've split those games this season with UCF. And if they get BYU in a tough draw, they beat BYU earlier this season, but it means BYU is going to have a win under its belt. It's going to have a little confidence, a little mojo. And yeah. I wouldn't want – here's the thing. I think BYU is one of those teams, Matthew, that you don't want to face when you haven't played in 5 or 6 days and they've got a game in the last 24 hours under their belts where they're not mm-hmm. – you know what I mean? Like they're not worn down yet from 2 games in a row. They played one game. They're feeling good. That's not a team that I want to face if I'm Texas Tech.
I would agree. And BYU is such a rhythm team offensively with the way they shoot the basketball that if they win on Wednesday and they shoot well Wednesday, there's a good chance they're going to shoot well Thursday too. So I tend to agree with you there that it's not a great matchup for Texas Tech, but I really like where Texas Tech is going right now. They're not, you know, the flashiest team out there, but you know, they've got their own big time 3-point shooter in Darian Williams. And if he gets hot, it can carry Texas straight out of quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm. Now, Houston. Houston is the number one seed in this tournament. It's obviously well-deserved.
Yeah.
That being said, I am surprised at just how big of a favorite they are. So they are minus 125. For people that aren't gamblers, what that means is you've got to put down $1.25 to win $1 on Houston to win this tournament. Whereas Iowa State has the second best odds at plus 300, meaning $1 wins you $3. I love this Houston team. I think they can win the national championship. But that's a terrible bet. Like in this tournament, in this league, I am not betting Houston at that big of a favorite. I don't think anybody should be that big of a favorite in this tournament. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, thank you for explaining that to me because I've been trying to figure out what the plus and the minus mean for years.
Well, you know what? Now the audience knows. Now the audience knows you're not a degenerate gambler like the rest of us. So good for you, Mr. Goody Two Shoes. All right. Go ahead. Continue on.
So, you know, I mentioned the TCU loss earlier. Houston's lost one game since then. I mean, as parity driven as this conference has been this year, they've won, do the math here, they're 15-3. They've won 14 of their last 15 games.
Wow.
I mean, they've been dominant. They've been one team in this conference that has been dominant throughout the year. And you know as well as I do that this conference can be, or this tournament can be, you know, kind of all over the map. But they're the one team that comes in that has been truly dominant the last month, that is the best offensive team in the country, the best defensive team in the country. And, you know, I think there's a chance they could lose, but I think there's a better chance they could win the whole thing.
Wow. Okay. So you think that's a good bet. And by the way, just so the folks know, Matthew lives in Texas where he can't legally sports bet. And technically you're in Missouri where you can't legally sports bet, but if you drive 5 minutes across the state line, you can place your wager with the rest of us. So,
yeah, but then I got to drive somewhere to cash it out.
Yeah.
Then I got to drive to Louisiana to cash it out. So, I mean,
hey, you just got to go back to Kansas. You'll be fine. You can do it. You got time before your flight home on Sunday. I know you do.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. So let's look at this tournament then to the semifinals. If we're looking at this thing and you're looking at these quarterfinal games, and I mentioned the top four seeds, Houston's the one, Iowa State's the two, Baylor's the three, Tech's the four. You think Baylor is most likely to get knocked out early. I think Tech is most likely to get knocked out early. let's just fast forward to the championship game here. Who do you like playing in the Big 12 championship game come Saturday night?
I am going to take one thing real quick. I think I'm going to take the top two seeds, honestly. I mean, like I said before, Houston has been dominant for a month and a half. I don't see that changing very much. I think TCU can give them a really interesting matchup. But, you know, you look at Texas Tech. Texas Tech didn't do well against them the first time they played. They played in Houston, obviously. Iowa State, you know, their defense travels so much. I mean, they're an incredible defensive team. The one thing that could hurt them is if their three-point shooting isn't what it needs to be coming into this tournament. But I feel like they've been shooting the three-pointer well the last 2 or 3 weeks. So even though I know they're coming in with a loss to Kansas State, I kind of feel like the matchups really kind of favor them. Whoever they get in that quarterfinal game, whoever they get in that semifinal game, especially if Baylor loses that, or especially if Texas Tech loses, I should say, kind of clears out that part of the bracket for them. If I'm looking at the bracket properly, not look at the bracket. If Baylor loses, that clears out the bracket for Iowa State on that side. So I like the one and the two to get there come Saturday night.
All right. Okay. So you like 1-2, you're going chalk in this tournament this week. Now, chalk has actually been a pretty good bet here in recent years. I want to take people through the history before I give my pick. Last year was the 1-2, Kansas versus Texas. Texas, of course, won that game by 20. The year before that, Kansas beat Texas Tech. That was the 1-3. In 2021, which was the weird COVID year, there were no fans. That's, you know, kind of throw it out the window. But that was the 3-5 seed, Texas, Oklahoma State. 2020 was canceled. 2019 was the Iowa State, Kansas, a 5-3. And prior to that, 1-3, 4-2, 1-2 in 2016. So chalk has been a pretty good bet in this tournament, to your point. That being said, I'm going to roll. I'm going to go outside the box here. All right. And you're convincing me of this, by the way,
because
I don't think Houston needs to win this tournament to keep this one seed. I think they got this one seed locked up for the big dance.
At this point, I would agree with you.
Okay. So we're agreement there. They don't have a lot to play for. I don't know how well the fans are going to travel. I hope they travel well. We'd love to see a lot of Houston fans this weekend. I don't know how well they're going to travel for the quarterfinals. I could see TCU picking them off. You've convinced me of that. If they then end up losing that game, it's anybody's guess who comes out of that side of the bracket. Texas Tech, as you noted, closing solid down the stretch. So I'm going to go Texas Tech and Baylor in this tournament for the championship on Saturday. I think Baylor is being a bit undervalued. I think they're as talented as anybody in this conference. Yes, there are inconsistencies there. But I feel very good about overall where this team is at and the draw, partially because of this. They're either going to get Kansas, Cincinnati, or West Virginia. Banged up Kansas, Cincinnati team that'll play, you know, its third game in 3 days. And then you're talking about Iowa State, Texas, or Kansas State to then get to a championship. I think they've got a great path. I'm going to go Baylor over Texas Tech to win the Big 12 tournament on Saturday night. Am I nuts or have I convinced you that's a possibility, Matthew?
I think it's absolutely a possibility. I think that, you know, I think the fact that I think it's 1-2 and you think it's 3-4, I think that tells us that we both agree that right now the top four teams in the conference are probably playing the best basketball of anybody in the conference. Now, in this tournament, that doesn't necessarily mean any of them will win, but I think it means they're going to be the hardest teams to pick off. That's why it's so important that they earned the double buys, that they got the extra rest going into Thursday. That is probably going to help them more than it's going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? Think about it, too, with my prediction here. That will be a rematch of the game from Saturday, which Texas Tech, of course, won in Lubbock. So there's a little full circle here for these two teams meeting 1 week after they closed out the regular season last week. So in the last couple of minutes here, Matthew, what have we not touched on yet in this Big 12 tournament? Just a storyline or something worth watching in your eyes?
Well, I think the first couple of days, there's a real good chance that this could be a really chaotic tournament. We've never had a tournament this big before. Never had double buys, at least with a 14-team tournament. I think Tuesday and Wednesday could be really chaotic days for this tournament. I mean, it's it's as likely for every high seed to advance as it is for every low seed to advance. That's how even all of these teams are that are outside of the top four. I mean, we could see a couple of double-digit seeds advance into the quarterfinals. I think that's really what's great about this tournament this year, is because I don't think anybody's truly bad. That means anybody can truly win a game or two and really kind of discombobulate everything.
It is going to be fun, and we can't wait to read your coverage. We'll have a lot of stuff for you at Heartland College Sports. Make sure you're on the message boards. If we have a chance for a little meetup at some point this week, if you're going to be in Kansas City, all that information is going to be up on the Heartland College Sports message boards. So looking forward to hopefully seeing some of you guys around Kansas City this week. And if you see his beautiful face at T-Mobile Arena this week, make sure you go say hi. But don't ask him for any sports betting opinions, because that's obviously not his bread and butter. All right, Matthew? Yeah,
that is not my area. I'll be up there in the hockey press box starting tomorrow. They've had us nicely down here on the floor for the last few days for the women, but come tomorrow, we're up in the hockey press box.
I'm sure they'll have a nice gift bag for you up there. Maybe binoculars will be in it too, you know? It'll be good.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. He's Matthew Postens. I'm Pete Mundo, and we'll be reading his stuff all week long on the website. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel on YouTube and on the podcast. Hit that thumbs up on the video and hit that 5-star on the podcast. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you soon, and go Big 12. Have a great day.